Welcome to Career Tours. This week, successful career strategies, moving closer to the customers. The questions this cast answers are, what moves can I make that guarantee career success? What are the best parts of the company to work in? And what physical locations are best to work in?
This holiday season, give the gift of leadership and communication skills with our video courses, Effective Manager, Effective Communicator, and Effective Interviewer. Perfect for the aspiring or current manager in your life. And if you don't have anyone like that in your life, how about gifting it to yourself? With our Buy Today, Gift Today offer, these courses are not just presents, but investments in someone's professional growth. These courses are expertly crafted to enhance managerial skills, improve communication abilities, and refine interviewing techniques. Ideal for anyone looking to step up their game in the corporate world. Why wait for shipping? Give these gifts instantly and watch as your loved ones or colleagues transform into more effective, confident professionals. Visit our website now to choose the perfect course and make this season a season of growth and success.
In the realm of career advancement, unfortunately, despite the questions this cast answers, there aren't actually any moves that guarantee career success. There's no silver bullets, as they say. But there are certain principles that are widely acknowledged to be effective for the vast majority of people. And among these principles are the idea that one can achieve greater career success by working in areas of the company which are closer to the customer and therefore the profit of the company. So if you work in an area of the company which is close to the customers, i.e. serving the customers or making the product that goes to the customers, then you're more likely to be more successful in your career because, well, we're going to explain.
All right. Well, that brings us to our outline today. First, when you have the choice, choose a job closer to the customer of the company. Second, when you have the choice, choose a company that puts you near the customers. And lastly, when you have the choice, choose a physical location that puts you near the customer.
So when you have a choice, choose a job closer to the customer of the company. And given the choice between two equal offers with the same pay, the same conditions, the same level of interest, your level of interest, the same quality of life factors and so on, choose the job offer that gives you the job closest to the customer. So if you had a job offer in a support function like legal or HR, and you had a job in sales or customer service or customer delivery, something like that, you would choose what the one in sales or customer support or customer delivery. Now, the phrase all other things being equal is, you know, just about useless because not only are no two job offers exactly the same, you never get two job offers at exactly the same time. Because that's part of the annoyance about the whole job hunting thing. You never know when the next one's coming in. So you never are able to weigh those two things up. But in your consideration of a job offer, we would urge you to put heavy weighting on how close is this job to the customer. And if you look at the first job of CEOs and other C-suite executives, often their first job was business development or sales. So functions that put them right next to the customer. And you might not want to be CEO, and that's fine. There are not many people that want to be CEO, and that's because it's a crazy job and you have to be crazy to want it. But it is true that that experience in roles that are close to the customer increases the likelihood of success in your career.
Yeah, and departments, roles, and individuals who have the most direct relationship to the profit of the company are the ones that have the most influence and are the most valued in any company. So if you have a closer relationship to the revenue, you're more valued. That's really putting it simplistically. So for example, sales is usually a department you hear a lot about, even when you're not in sales. And just so you know, it's not because they are the most fun or the best people to party with that you hear about them. It's because of their relationship to the customer, to revenue, that it's really important to the company as a whole, what sales do. It's because their success is critical to the success of the company. So in theory, sales bringing in a $100,000 contract compared to, say, the procurement department that saves $100,000 on a contract, you're going to hear about the celebration of the sales.
Right. And in theory, it's the same to the company, right? Income of $100,000 and savings of $100,000 on the bottom line have the same effect, right? If you look at the bank account, it would be the same effect.
Right. $100,000 is $100,000, right? Yeah.
But you don't hear it the same. Sales would be celebrated and procurement's like, oh, you did your job.
Right. That's just part of the day. And sales is like, party, right? Yeah. Now, to that point, companies live and die on the cash flow. So without sales bringing in the cash, the procurement department would have no reason to save any money at all. In other words, procurement's efforts to save money and be cost efficient would be moot if there's no cash coming in from the sales department. That's why sales, who is closer to the customer, is more celebrated than procurement. And why sales is in the top 10 list of first jobs of CEOs, and procurement is not.
And another reason for choosing jobs in a department that's closer to the customer is that those roles tend to be safer during downturns. When layoffs are required, companies tend to look first at support functions, not the customer-facing roles. If there's going to be layoffs, you don't want to lay off salespeople, because those salespeople are the people that are bringing money in. You want those people still out on the streets talking to customers. If there's money available, you want those people to be bringing it in. If you're going to scrimp somewhere, if you're going to make things difficult, if you're going to tighten your belt somewhere, if you're going to, you know, trim the fat, as they say, somewhere, you're going to do it on an internal role, something where you think you can get away with not doing something. You're going to do it in a support function, not on a customer-facing function. You don't want to lose the contracts you have, and you want to get as many contracts in as you can to survive that downturn. So they'll take away roles that make things easier for other people in the company. So you often see things like IT being outsourced because it's cheaper, because that's an internal role. So it makes everybody's life harder that IT has been outsourced. Okay, but it saved the company money and it got us through the downturn. You won't see sales being outsourced because they're important. You won't see things that make things easier for the customer being outsourced.
Right.
It's likely that HR, finance, legal, administration departments in general, those will experience layoffs before departments that directly create revenue, like sales and production, people that work on software that is, if you're in a software as a service company, you know, production software for customers, those people won't be laid off, but maybe people who are working on software that's used internally for project management or finance, those people will be laid off, even though they effectively have the same skills.
Yeah. And finally, another point would be the departments that are closest to the customer are more likely working on interesting projects and new products, right? The closer you are to the customer, I would say the more money is available. So you get those more interesting projects to increase the revenue, right? To help out the customer. Where on the other side of that, if it's not more profitable to the company, if you're working on those more support systems, you're probably not getting those really exciting new products or those new experiments to try within the company. So if that's more of your jam, I would say you have to be closer to the customer if you want to work on those innovative ideas or more exciting things that just aren't going to happen if you're more internal.
Yeah. Why would we change something that's working? Why would we spend money on something that's working when it's not going to bring us more revenue, right?
Absolutely.
So when you have the choice, choose a company that puts you near the customers. The relationship of your role to your company's purpose influences your relative position to the customers. So choosing wisely can put you next closer to the customers. For example, a lawyer in a fast-moving consumer goods company like P&G or Nestle, you're in a support function. So the purpose of those companies is to make washing powder and chocolate and crisps and all of the things that they make. And if you're in the legal department, your job is to file the patents and defend them against legal claims and just make sure they stay on track legally. And so the company's aim is to sell all their product, make and sell all their products. And you are a support function to that. But if you were a lawyer in an IP litigation firm, then your time is billed out to the customers. So you are a direct source of revenue to that company. It's the same role, effectively, but in a different type of company. And so that moves you from the cost center in a support role to the profit center next to the customer. And it gives you a whole different importance within the company.
And another example, if you're a software developer in an engineering firm, you're in a cost center. The software is required to run the firm. However, it's not required to develop the product that's sold to the customer. On the other side, if you're a software developer developing the product of a software firm, you're closer to the customer and therefore the profit. So just like in the previous example, if you're a software developer in a company that you're just helping the company itself, you're farther from the customer, opposed to being the software developer, same job, but you're developing it for the customer. So same role, it's just within a different type of company, and you want to choose the one that's closer to the customer.
And software development is an odd one because that can be super close to the customer. We saw something yesterday, Bill Vavrick? Phil Vavrick, yes, thank you. I completely spaced out. Bill Vavrick was on our executive speaker series call yesterday, and he was showing us a bridge that was designed in 3D software, and they design it, and then they plan the whole project on 3D software, and it was amazing. He was explaining all about how to have a culture of innovation. It was so cool. And I'm imagining that the software developers where he works at ARA on that software are actually close to the customer because they're developing the project that is going to be a bridge. So software development is an interesting one because it could be quite close to the customer, or even if it's working on software for the company. So you would have to listen carefully during the interview process to find out how close to the customer you would be in those cases.
Yeah. It helps with your career trajectory, knowing that if you're closer to the customer or farther for the customer, even though the role might be the same.
In these two cases, instead of your role being one that the company is thinking about in terms of cost minimization, it's one that it's thinking of in terms of utilization maximization, and that's good for you. So if you think about the lawyer at Nestlé again, they're thinking about, how do we maximize the number of sales of Pringles? Do they make Pringles? No, I think P&G make Pringles. Anyway, they're maximizing.
Either way, they're good.
Yeah. They're maximizing the sale of whatever it is they make, chocolate, and the production and sale of that thing. They're not thinking about lawyers. They're just thinking about how can we pay the minimum amount necessary for this lawyer that we have to have. Whereas if you're a lawyer in a law firm, whose time is being billed out, they're thinking, how can we get the maximum out of this lawyer that we've got? And part of that is training and support. Like, oh, I can get more out. This lawyer can work more hours that we can bill out if we give him an assistant or better tech or more training or give them more flexibility in their hours because then they'll be more indebted to the company. We'll fly them first class so that they arrive fresher. You know, that utilization maximization works in your favor. And that works for compensation increases, promotions, all sorts of things.
Let's talk about the training part a little bit more. If you want to increase your utility to the company, then it's much easier to make your case for more training if you're closer to the customer. If you are closer to that revenue, the likelihood of you getting that training that you want to take is higher. Because if you can take a training that directly impacts your customer relationship, your ability to be utilized by the customer, they're going to send you to the training, right? And the best example I have of this is a lot of in healthcare, right? If you can go to a training that helps you learn a new skill or a new diagnostic tool or something that increases your availability to be billed,
mm-hmm.
that's direct relationship. And they're going to send you to that training to learn whatever that new skill is, that new diagnostic tool. You're going to have a better chance of getting that. But the farther you are away from the customer, the less likely you are to get the training because it doesn't necessarily impact that relationship, that bottom line. So that's also something to keep in mind if you really like continuing education or those training courses or learning new skills, and if you like your company to pay for it.
Why wouldn't you? It's also easier for you to point to work that you did that directly impacted revenue and therefore support a request for a pay increase if you're working close to the customer. It's really hard when you're in an admin function. For example, I moved all these pieces of paper from my desk to someone else's desk. I always found that when I was early in my career, when I was in admin functions. I moved paper from my desk to someone else's desk. I did it very efficiently, but it meant nothing in the grand scheme of things because I was so far away from the customer. Whereas now I might create something for manager tools and I can directly tie that to revenue. It's much easier for me to say, I did that.
Yeah.
Not that I do, but...
You do. And it's less behind the scenes, right? Because no one knows what happens behind the scenes unless it is directly impacting the customers.
It's easier for you to be noticed by the people who have influence over who gets promoted and to impress them because those people are taking notice of the departments that generate revenue. They take less notice of the departments that are cost centers, apart from when those costs in those cost centers rise, right? Everybody's always watching the revenue numbers. The only time that cost centers get noticed is when costs rise and or when costs need to be cut. Otherwise, people just leave them alone.
We're excited to bring you our Virtual Effective Manager and Virtual Effective Hiring Manager training in other languages. We've partnered with experts who provide on-the-spot interpretation services in the language of your preference during our virtual training events. And while there's a small upfront cost for the service, it's well worth it to ensure the individuals in your organization understand the content and can ask live in real time their questions and receive in real time the responses to their questions in their language of preference during the training. If you're interested in understanding more, email us at maggie@manager-tools.com.
Okay, so when you have the choice, choose a physical location that puts you near the customer. So let's talk about the physical location. Within the company, if you have a closer physical location to the customer, you have more influence than others. And those are usually nearer to the customer. This is more complicated than our previous 2 points because, say, in retail, the customer concentration is at the stores. But those aren't always the most important customers. However, it is better to be part of the front end of retail operation than it is to be part of the head office. In retail stores, there are also often hierarchies of the stores. So in one town, there might be that big store that everyone goes to because it has all the things. And then there might be that little store that maybe doesn't have all the products that you need. When I think of this, I think grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
You know that big grocery store that is always busy because they have 17 more departments to it, or the one that you're like, oh, I can get in and out of. But where are all the customers, right? And that matters. The bigger stores are going to be closer to the more important customers. So that's where you would want to be. So that's kind of how that hierarchy works. So it's better to be at the big stores, not just any of the stores, is what we're saying.
And in general, outlying offices have less influence than head office. Bigger customers are usually serviced from head office, and therefore the roles and the people with most influence are usually at head office. It's not universally true. I can think of exceptions at places where I've worked, but it is generally true. And again, it's one of those things where you would have to listen carefully and you would have to do your research when you're in the interview process to make sure that you're going to end up in the right place. because it really isn't universally true, but it is generally true. Similarly, out-of-state or overseas beachheads of companies have less influence than the home state or country, even if they're closer to the customer. So, for instance, if you work for an American company and they are trying to break into the European market and they have one European base in France, say, if you work in that French office, despite the fact that you're talking directly to customers, that doesn't give you the same kind of influence as you would have in head office in the US. There's more risk in those beachhead locations and potentially more reward if the beachhead is successful, but there's also risk that it's going to fail. There's also more risk. So you have to consider your risk tolerance. There's also out of sight, out of mind. There's also the fact that a beachhead usually isn't making very much money in the first few years. And your results are usually very small compared with the magnitude of the mother company, as it were. And so even if you've increased your sales by 100%, it's a drop in the ocean compared to what's going on at home. So it doesn't look like much. It can be a really exciting thing to do, and it can make your career, and it's a risky move. And if you're looking for certainty, it's not the right thing to do.
And there's different areas that we can talk about. So in manufacturing, plants have more influence than the office-only locations. And that's because customers really don't go to the plants where all the items are being made. That's where the product is being created. So that's going to be the more important location. So even though you don't have that face-to-face time with customers, in manufacturing, you want to be at the plant. It's, I would say, less risky, kind of what we were talking about before, being in the plant versus in an office-only location. Even though, again, you have that face-to-face time with the customer, it's still more away from the product, that revenue.
And finally, if you're in politics in the US, you need to be in your state capital or in Washington. And if you're in the state capital, you need to be on your way to Washington and replace these locations with the appropriate ones in your own country. I think those are obvious, and I think everybody in politics knows that, but, you know, politics is different.
Yeah, you want to be going to the bigger buildings, essentially.
Yes, always upwards.
Always upwards in the bigger buildings, the ones that are downtown.
There are no guaranteed career strategies, and there's nothing that you can do at 21 straight out of university and know that they will hold you throughout your career, neither through a guaranteed success through, you know, economies and companies and so on, nor through your own interests and family circumstances and life circumstances. But if we were to recommend a strategy that will never harm you and which has a multitude of benefits, this would be it. Always choose to be closer to the customer over not closer to the customer. If you have that choice, make the choice to be closer to the customer. Thanks, Amanda.
Thank you, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic.
Bye.